you want to learn from God's Word today? Are you hungry for the truth that can set you free? If so, then I say you came to the right place, because God's Word is what you're going to receive. If you want to ignite your passion for your Creator and learn to overcome the obstacles to Christ-centered living, then you're right where you need to be right now. One of the ways that our Lord used to teach people was with stories that illustrate important ideas and illustrate the truth. Asaph foretold this method of teaching in the 78th Psalm, and that's where it's written, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." Christ taught in parables, stories. He shared stories that were different from what he was talking about. And this caused confusion among some people because it wasn't given to them to understand. Today we're going to revisit one of the parables of Christ that teaches us of three things that interfere with the growth or the fruit of believers. In the process, we're also going to learn ways to overcome those things and improve our life in Christ and the way that we are able to bear fruit. Ultimately, we're going to be feeding on the Word of God. This is our nutrition. This is the fertilizer for believers to aid us in the production of fruit. If you will, open your Bible, turn it to the 13th chapter of Matthew, and we're going to read two passages from Matthew chapter 13. We're going to begin at verse 1 and read through verse 9, and then we're going to move on to the same chapter, but we're going to read verse 18 through 23. So we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 13, verse 1, and read through verse 9. And then from there, we'll go on to read verse 18 through 23. And that's where it's written. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then at chapter 13, beginning at verse 18 through verse 23. "Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. I trust that God will add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Jesus gave us three scenarios for crop failure. One, success scenario. And this is about Christ's likeness being produced in those who hear God's word. That's the crop, the fruit. He said the first crop failure is seen in those who do not understand. The devil comes, snatches the word out of their hearts. We must pray for those whom we deliver the word to. We must pray that they understand. But what does it mean to understand? It means to stand under, to submit, to yield. Jesus said, those who do not stand under the Word, who do not stand under Him, who do not yield to Him, the devil snatches it away. They don't submit to God's authority. We have to pray for the devil to be stopped from stealing the truth from them. As we give up control of our lives, as we yield to Christ, the Word is planted in us. We receive it. The Word of God will grow within us to produce godly fruit. The opposite is true also. The opposite is true. Refusing to stand under God's authority is equal to allowing the evil one to snatch away the seeds. If we don't yield to God, the devil has his way. That's the Word of God. It's very clear when you look through the rest of the Word of God. And we could do one sermon just on that point and show all the various ways that God in His Word tells us we need to submit to Him. We need to yield to Him. We need to allow His authority in our lives. You rule in your life whenever you don't allow Christ to rule. You're the master of your destiny whenever you don't allow Christ to be the master of your destiny. You live in a world that you make, and in the end, you reap the wages of your choices. If you don't stand under Christ, you're standing under your own authority, and under your own authority, you're rejecting the Word of God, and the Word of God then is snatched away, and you bear no fruit. That's what Jesus said. As we preach the truth, indeed, as we share the truth, we must be thorough in our distribution of the Word. We must never overlook the bits and pieces that are uncomfortable. Today in our Bible study, we were looking at the promises of God. There are lots of wonderful promises of God. God has promised a Savior. He's brought the Savior. He promised His Holy Spirit. He brought the Holy Spirit. He promised that we'd go through persecution. Ooh, we don't like that one. But as we go into the next point, we're going to see it's relevant. God's Word is true. It's the seed that the sower sows. If the message is incomplete, if we don't bring the whole message, the message from the beginning to the end, Jesus started His ministry with telling the people to repent. Turn from your sins. Change your mind about who God is. Change your mind about who you are in relationship to God. It was His first message. We're called to be children of obedience. We're to stand under the authority of Christ and live as He taught. His message was to go and sin no more. Whenever He healed somebody and asked Him, do you believe I can do this? Oh, yeah, I believe you can do it. Okay, then be it to you as you believe. Oh, and by the way, go and sin no more. That's what Jesus said. But somehow in the church today, we've got people saying, go and sin it up. You can do whatever you like. It's a modified gospel. I call it the genetically modified gospel. That's going to be relevant to the second part of this message. Christ said the second crop failure is found in those who receive the Word with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but when tribulation or persecution arises because of the Word, immediately they fall away. Peter comes to mind when I think about that. Given the fact that the world, it's our world, is becoming more and more complicated, I believe that we're all in danger. Not just from the things of the world, but if we're not deeply rooted in the Word of God, we stand that chance that Jesus proclaimed here of falling. You think about the IRS targeting conservative groups like the Tea Party. You think about the push for total gun control. You think about the NSA gathering phone call information and medicine being taken over by the government. These things are all coming together for something. They're not for nothing. And I'm concerned that maybe being a Christian in an anti-Christ society is going to get tougher. When Peter said he'd never denied Christ, he was speaking from a pre-persecution position. But whenever the very real prospect of losing his own life, he was faced with that, what happened? I didn't know the guy. I never knew the guy. Get out of here. I don't know him. He even cussed the people out because he said he didn't know them. Didn't know Christ. He quickly denied Christ. But then later he was restored. And we see through that restoration was absolutely necessary. He denied Christ 3 times and Christ restored him 3 times. When tribulation comes, and I have to tell you, I believe it's coming, folks. The followers of Christ have to be prepared to stand firmly rooted in God's Word. Otherwise, when tribulation or persecution arises because of the Word, they'll fall away. That's what Jesus said. We must remember that we're children of the King who brings everlasting life. Heed the words of Christ that are found in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I believe the time has come for God's people to resolve in their hearts to be planted deeply in the Word of Almighty God. We have to stand united in Christ to bring His message of truth to the world. We must stand united to deliver His message of God's love to the world no matter what. No matter what the world brings. Our Lord said the third crop failure scenario is seen in those who are choked with cares and riches and pleasures. They bring no fruit to maturity because they get caught up in the worldly pleasures and the cares and the riches. The things of this life draw their attention away from Christ. The cares of the world draw them out of fellowship with other believers. It's too easy. I've got too much to do. I've got to be somewhere else. I have to do this. I have to do that. I want to do this. I want to do that. The pleasure of life draws them out of God's Word and into everything else. You know, our world is full of fantasies. We got a television. We can turn it on. We can be anywhere in the world. We can be anywhere in the world. Now with the high-definition television, it's just like you are. Your brain doesn't know the difference. We can get into TV and movies and sports and everything else, except the Word of God, fellowship with other believers, and prayer. And with 0% financing and 6 months, same as cash, we can have everything we want. We can all be rich. There's nothing that we can't have in this world. Nothing. The banks and their evil system, the Bible stands against it, by the way. They let us have whatever we want. We can covet anything. Well, that's right. The Bible says don't covet. Get out the card. We'll take care of it. They keep creating cash out of nothing but your signature. It's an ungodly system. And it's putting us all and our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren in such a great debt. And why is that important? Because we're being drawn away from Almighty God by the things of this world, by the pleasures of this world, by all of those things that we enjoy. They're enslaving us to that debt that could be repaid by shifting it to value-based money. The only real money is that of Scripture and the Constitution for these United States, gold and silver. That's the only real money that's authorized by the Constitution of these United States. Not this paper stuff that we're passing around. These are Federal Reserve notes. They have no value. They're based in debt only. And I know that's probably a shocking statement to everybody, but what we're doing is we're stealing from one another using these things. As the Federal Reserve deepens that insurmountable debt, it pushes us closer to that one world system. God in His Word calls these the last days. Scripture calls it the last days. As followers of Christ, we must remain true to our leader, the one that we have surrendered to. Remember the previous? We submit, we surrender. We have to maintain our allegiance to the Word of God as our source of spiritual nourishment. We must maintain our connection to Almighty God through His Word and prayer and fellowship with other believers. We must not allow the things of the world to draw us away. It's too easy to let the things of this life draw us away. It's too easy to leave our first love like the church of Ephesus it's written of in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. But when the going gets tough, we have to hold on to the facts that are related to Revelation 20 and verse 10. The devil that deceived them will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet will be and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. When this financial house of cards collapses, there's going to be a lot of people that fall away, folks. Just look at history. Just look at history. When people's finances are ruined, what happens? People lose hope. But nourished in God's Word, you can bear fruit. I believe that. I'm trusting it. As I wrap this up, I want to encourage you with the truth of God's Word. The three crop failure scenarios all provide a way for us to follow. They're not just negative, they're positive. If you look at them from that light, if you surrender, if you stand under, if you understand the Word, you will not fall away. The Word will not be taken from you. If you have the ways of the world that are calling you away from God, then you need to get away from the ways of the world. You can have hope no matter where you are in your walk. If you're just learning to walk with Christ, maybe you're a new believer or maybe you're young in your life. Remember that your role is to let Him rule. He's to rule your life. All true followers of Christ are called to change their minds, not just about who God is, but their relationship to Him. Our relationship to God is not to tell Him what to do. Our relationship with God is not to demand things of Him. Our relationship to God is to submit to Him, to allow Him to rule in our lives. The first crop failure seen in those who don't understand. The devil comes and snatches the word out of their heart. Stand under Christ and let Him rule in your heart. Let Him rule in your life. He'll produce fruit through you as you yield to Him. Remember, He's the vine, we're the branches. Without Him, we can bear no fruit. He said so. The second crop failure is found in those who receive the word with joy but then fall away because of tribulation or persecution. And make no mistake about it, folks. The church of Christ is being persecuted even in this land today. There are laws against preaching what I just preached to you. Because the devil doesn't want you to hear the truth. The devil doesn't want you to come out of the world system. The devil doesn't want you to know that God has more for you. Regardless of where you're at, make sure that you're here. When you really can be here when the doors are open. Fellowship with one another. Pray. Get into the Word. Seek ways and times to gather with other believers to fellowship, pray, and worship together. Look for those things to happen. Don't avoid them. These things will strengthen you and nourish you to produce fruit. That's what the Word of God shows us. The third crop failure scenario seen in those who are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life. Do an honest assessment of your life, folks, as I do. I'm doing that assessment of my life. What can I get rid of? What can I avoid? How can I drop something more? What else can I do to get deeper into the Word of God? Yeah, I'm the preacher, obviously. I'm the guy that has to be able to bring you the truth of God's Word to the best of my ability. I am that man because God called me to be that man. But each and every one of you also has a duty. You have a responsibility to your Savior to be able to take His Word out into the world and to give it to other people so that they too can come into the kingdom of Almighty God. Are the cares or riches or pleasures drawing you away from prayer and fellowship with other believers? If they are, you're already being choked. You're already being choked. You have the power of the Spirit of Christ who dwells within you to overcome those things to the glory of Almighty God. As you look objectively at your own life, let the Word of Christ dwell richly within you, just as it's written in the third chapter of Colossians. Press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. For many walk, it's written in Philippians chapter 3, of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. As you maintain your understanding of Christ, as you maintain your standing under, your yielding to Christ, as you feed upon God's Word, as you fellowship with one another and other believers, you will be strengthened against persecution. You will be strengthened against tribulation. You will be strengthened and be able to walk away from the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. I want you to hear the parable of the sower, and you will produce fruit. Some of you 100-fold, some 60, some 30. That's not the goal. How much? How much? There's some people that go out there and say, well, I got 10 souls for Christ today. Well, I'll tell you, folks, I've never done that. I preach the Word in season and out of season. I don't treat the Word of God lightly. I want all of us to recognize Jesus taught this parable because it's important to us, not just to those people. It's important to all of us to understand there are things that are coming against us. And if you hear the parable of the sower, you will, as I said, produce fruit. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have given us this message today. And ask, Lord, that You would seed it deeply in our hearts. Your Word has been sown. Help us, Lord. Help us to break free from those things that restrict Your Word from growing. Help us, Father God, to submit to surrender, to yield, to acquiesce to your will. Help us, Lord, to let go of our fear of being persecuted. Help us to let go of our fear of tribulation. Help us, Father, to walk away from the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Help us to hear the parable of the sower, that we would produce fruit. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.